Welcome to 9 to 5 Mac Daily for Wednesday, July 30th, 2025. I'm your host, Chance Miller. We are sponsored this week by Bitwarden. Leading off today, iOS 18.6 is now available for iPhone users. The iOS 26 beta, of course, has stolen all the headlines recently, but Apple has also quietly been beta testing 18.6 for the last few weeks. As for what's new in iOS 18.6, Apple says the update provides important security fixes and bug fixes. It also fixes an issue in the Photos app that could prevent memory movies from being shared. iOS 18.6 also includes more changes to the App Store experience for users in the European Union. There's an updated experience in the EU for installing an alternative app marketplace from a developer's website, and an updated user experience for installing an app directly from a developer's website. Apple's security release notes for iOS 18.6 say the update patches vulnerabilities affecting a couple of different accessibility features, media playback, network connectivity, and more. Apple, however, is not aware of any reports of these vulnerabilities being actively exploited in the wild. In addition to iOS 18.6 for iPhone, Apple has also released updates for its other platforms, including the iPad, the Mac, the Apple Watch, the Apple TV, and Apple Vision Pro. You can update your iPhone by going to the Settings app, choosing General, then choosing Software Update. Next up today, the U.S. Department of Justice formally sued Apple in March of 2024, accusing the company of having a smartphone monopoly. Apple has voiced its opposition to the case many times over the last year, calling it misguided. Now, Apple has officially filed its answer to the DOJ's antitrust complaint, pushing back forcefully against its allegations. As a refresher, the DOJ's antitrust lawsuit focuses on five major aspects of the iPhone experience: super apps, cloud streaming games, third-party messaging apps, third-party smartwatches, and third-party digital wallets. In today's filing, Apple says the DOJ fundamentally misunderstands those five things. Apple outlines how the DOJ says that it stifles the success of super apps despite the fact that Apple's rules allow and support such apps, and many of them exist on the App Store today. As for cloud streaming games, Apple says it allows streaming games both on the web and in the App Store, and as for third-party messaging apps, they're widely available and enormously popular on iPhone already. The DOJ says Apple limits the functionality of third-party smartwatches. Apple says they can effectively pair with iPhone, share data to and from the iPhone with a companion app, and take advantage of certain functionalities Apple has developed. The DOJ says that Apple withholds access to iPhone hardware necessary for third-party digital wallets. Apple, however, says that it has already developed and provided mechanisms to do exactly this and protect user security. Apple's full filing walks through the intricacies of each of these topics and essentially offers a paragraph-by-paragraph or sentence-by-sentence rebuttal of where it thinks the DOJ is misguided. Apple says, quote, "The complaint's theories, if vindicated, would reduce consumers' choice and erode competition. The lawsuit could set a dangerous precedent, empowering the government to take a heavy hand in designing people's technology," end quote. Now that Apple has filed its formal response to the DOJ's complaint, the case will proceed with a discovery phase. You can hit the link in the show notes to read Apple's full filing this week. We are sponsored this week by Bitwarden, the trusted solution for password, passkey, and secrets management. Bitwarden helps individuals and businesses take control of their digital security with tools that make managing strong, unique credentials simple across all devices. That includes desktop, browser, iOS, Android, Apple Watch, and Apple Vision Pro. With features like end-to-end encryption, secure autofill, and enterprise SSO, Bitwarden protects you from phishing attacks and data breaches. Over 55% of people have abandoned logging into accounts because they forgot a password, and 60% say managing passwords is stressful. Bitwarden makes it easy with options like biometric unlock, password sharing, and the ability to manage logins, identities, and payment info across platforms. It even supports passkeys and secure sharing, all with zero-knowledge encryption. Check it out at the link in the show notes or at bitwarden.com. My thanks to Bitwarden for sponsoring 9to5Mac Daily. Running out today, Apple is nearing a deal with JPMorgan Chase to take over the Apple Card partnership currently backed by Goldman Sachs. This comes in a report from the Wall Street Journal. Goldman Sachs is looking to exit its agreement with Apple after mounting financial losses and a broader rethinking of its consumer finance business. The report says that negotiations between Apple and JPMorgan began early last year, but have accelerated in recent months. Apple has reportedly told JPMorgan that it is its preferred choice to replace Goldman Sachs as its partner. The report cautions, however, that the negotiations could break down as there are a number of challenges associated with Apple Card, and no deal has been signed yet. Apple's current deal with Goldman Sachs technically runs until 2030, but Goldman CEO David Solomon has said the deal could end much sooner than that. The report doesn't provide any additional details about the potential partnership between Apple and JPMorgan Chase. For example, there are two components to Apple's deal with Goldman: the Apple Card itself and Apple Card Savings Account. The latter is a high-yield savings account available exclusively to Apple Card users. JPMorgan Chase currently doesn't offer a high-yield savings account, so it's unclear if it would be interested in taking over that component of the deal. Despite its larger retreat from the consumer market, Goldman still does offer its Marcus high-yield savings account, so perhaps Apple Card itself will shift to Chase, but Apple Card's savings account will stick with Goldman. There's also the possibility that Apple Card will undergo major changes as part of its switch to Chase. There are questions about whether the current terms of Apple Card are financially viable for the bank. For instance, Apple Card charges no fees other than interest, gives you up to 3% cash back, and offers 0% financing on purchases from Apple. The Wall Street Journal previously reported that Apple could have to change key components of Apple Card to attract a new partner. Apple has also reportedly held talks with Synchrony, American Express, and Capital One about the Apple Card deal, but as it stands right now, Chase is the frontrunner. That wraps up another episode of 9to5 Mac Daily. As always, you can find all of the latest Apple news on 9to5mac.com. Follow along with me on Threads at Chance H. Miller. And we'll be back tomorrow for a new episode of 9to5 Mac Daily.